I am so excited to be here for a lot of reasons. I'm grateful for Joe inviting me to come. I'm honored to be here. I was thrilled when Joe was appointed pastor here. I was on the council, the conference, Board of Ordained Ministry, when Joe came through. And I prayed for him because his daddy was on the committee too at the time. And so I have, with great pleasure, watched Joe from the time he first gave up and followed God's call on his life and what all he's done in the conference, and I was thrilled when he was appointed to Salem. At that time, it would probably be true to say that I was happier about Joe being appointed than he was being appointed, but that's a whole nother thing. I think it's turned out to be a marvelous thing for you and him. And we are grateful for that. I'm going to take some personal time as well. I won't take too much time, but I'm going to take some personal time. And if I take up too much time, he won't invite me back anyway, so I might as well take it now. I didn't want to tell you, my wife Janet is not here, because she enabled me to be able to retire, because she now has two jobs and I don't have any, which really works out well to me. And she had to work both of those jobs today. She had to preach this morning, and then her paying job, she had something all afternoon, an outdoor event today. So she wasn't in a position to come tonight, and you probably wouldn't have wanted her to be here tonight. But her son, her oldest son, is a month younger than Robert. And they were here in the first grade together. And her son, Trant, was married 2 weeks ago. I got to officiate at that wedding. And so she's still recovering from that, too. Her prayers are with us, even though she's not able to be here as she continues to recover from that. I'm even more impressed with my stepson, Trant, because yesterday we saw him at the Georgia game. His first Saturday back from his honeymoon, he comes to a Georgia game with his father-in-law. I didn't know if that was a good sign or a bad sign, but he did. But I'm excited to renew the acquaintances with all of y'all. But it's also special for me tonight to be here. Don and Alice, I was thrilled when they decided, the Underwoods decided to be a part of this congregation when they came to Covington. Don is not my oldest friend, but he's my longest friend. I've got some friends that are older than Don, because he likes to remind me how much younger he is than me, which isn't that much, by the way. But we have been friends since our first semester at seminary. He was over at Milstead at the time, and Alice, I still love her spaghetti. That's the only thing she could afford to feed me back then when I came for supper, because I would just come home from class with Don, and she'd fix us supper while she was then on her way to work to the hospital. So I'm grateful that they're here and able to be here. And Joe Sr. and Ann, I'm also grateful to see them. I've got so much respect for Joe Sr., Dr. Joe's what I'd call him Dr. Joe and then Reverend Joe, and that works out all right. But I can't help but reflect on my time with Joe across the years. When I came to the conference, and Joe's older than I am, but not as much as I'd like for him to be. He's one person that I've known of since I first came to the conference. And it's been interesting as I sit and reflected as the band was playing and singing and thinking about Joe, because it's kind of been interesting for 40-something years. I've watched Joe and the degrees that's happened over time, because when I came in the conference, he was already one of its leaders and respected, and I used to watch him. I especially enjoyed, and I'll tell Joe Jr. some of these tales later, that I hadn't even told Joe Sr. this, but I can remember watching Joe at annual conference do some of the politicking on the sides, you know, between the mealtime and in the lines and all that stuff, as well as what he led in the conference, some of my indelible memories of him was then when I was trying to figure out how you're supposed to be a leader in our church. And then watched him serve significant churches across the annual conference. And then after we'd been in the district before together when there was more space between us. But while I was at Kennesaw, Joe came to be the pastor at Marietta First during a very difficult time in that church's life and did a marvelous job. And Joe, with what you did in that place, if I hadn't known anything else about you, my respect for who you are and what you mean to this annual conference will never be eclipsed by anybody because of that time. And I respected him as a peer and what he meant to the United Methodist Church and our whole area that was neighbors together. And then he went to Dalton right ahead of me. Then I had the blessing and the shock for Joe and I for me to be his district superintendent. And the two best things about being Joe's district superintendent was one, that I got to know Ann, and I don't know that I would have without that having happened. And I got to know her and cherish her as well and appreciate him. And the other thing I hadn't told about him, Joe, until I got here tonight was I never will forget, and I was thinking about it, reflecting there as well. When I went in Joe's office as his superintendent, he was smart enough to always be nice to me. I will tell you that. He is smart. Even though he was amazed I was not his superintendent, he was very gracious to me that whole experience together. But I remember going in his office, and the office for the senior pastor at Dalton First is the nicest one I've ever been in. And he had it all decorated, but with all his stuff and his history and his life, the thing that Joe Peabody was most proud of was his sons. And his pictures of his sons in that office and in their scout uniforms and how proud he was of them was a testament to me. And I can't help but be thrilled for he and Ann coming here and where they get to be with he and with Joe and Andy as well. It is, Joe, there's something about finishing the course faithfully that God rewards. And the rewards come in different ways. And what a special time in y'all's life. And we are glad, and I am so happy for you, all of you together, to be in this place is significant. And I'm grateful for this opportunity. And he didn't come just so I would talk about his daddy, although he'll have to pay me more when I talk about his daddy. In fact, I know some stuff I could tell you that might be worth it. Joe Sr. shaking his head, no, we weren't going to go there. The reason he theoretically invited me to come was to preach, so I want to prepare to do that. Would you bow with me in prayer together? Father, I'm grateful to be in this place. I'm grateful that you're here, that you were here before I got here, and you'll be here long after I'm gone. But we're grateful that you're in this place, in this moment, and in this night. Come and speak to us and through us, Lord, not that we might hear an old preacher preach, but that we might hear your new voice for us in this moment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to turn with me to, well, you don't have to turn because they even got it on that board, I think. Y'all get it on that board? Are they going to put it on the board? From Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 35th verse. In this 21st century, you can't even fuss at people for not bringing their Bibles. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Paul is a master of rhetorical questions. He asks questions that he knows what the answer ought to be, but he asks them, and then he loves to tell us the answer again. The rhetorical question also here is, if God is for us, who is against us? In the 31st verse that he then begins to answer, he also asks the question in the 6th chapter, should we go on sinning that grace abound? He over and over asks us this question. And this is the question about separation. Separation is a choice. When there is separation, somebody must choose to leave. Now, sometimes we experience separation not by choice. But when there is separation, there is a choice made. No one is cut off from Christ. We may choose to walk away from Christ. I've experienced loved ones who spent their time in the far country, but they chose to go there. We may have spent our time in the far country, but we chose to go there. God doesn't make us stay connected. He woos us, he calls us, and he holds on to us. But we, for a variety of reasons, can be guilty of choosing to walk away. It is our choice. This text tonight, and when Joe called and asked me to come, I immediately chose that I wanted to share this text with you. Because I've not shared this part of my story with you in this text. This text became my favorite passage in the Scriptures just before I came to be the pastor of this church. In fact, it was at the annual conference session where I was to be appointed here when we discovered that Janice had cancer. She'd gone to the doctor so she wouldn't have to go immediately when she got here. Some of you who are here know that by a month after we moved in, she was taking radiation 5 times a week, and I had people driving her to get radiation because I was a new preacher, and I didn't think I could be gone all the time. That I didn't even know who they were, but they had her taking her to radiation. But when this became my favorite passage, the night that I found out she had cancer, we had supper with Don and Alice. That was a usual thing for us in conference at those days. We couldn't afford 2 separate rooms, so we would always room together at that point. And our wives would come in on Wednesday nights before the luncheon on Thursday, and we would go out to dinner together. And we did. I'll tell this on Don. I don't usually tell this much of the detail about it, but Don always used that occasion as a chance to go to the movie instead of go to the service that night. And so that was pretty typical. So he said, do y'all want to go to the movie? And I looked at Janice, and those of you who are married successfully know that your wives can tell you things without opening their mouths. And I knew I wasn't supposed to go to the movie that night, so I said, no, I don't think, well, y'all go on, and we'll just go on back to the room and see you when you get back. We got back to the room. They went on to the movie, and I remember We went to get something out of the drink machine, and then we got back to the room, and actually on the way back to the room, I said, "What is it? What's going on?" And that's when she told me she had cancer. There's not many times I'm speechless, but I was speechless that night. And in my response, my initial response to her was to reach for the Gideon's Bible that was in the nightstand. And I pointed to this passage from Romans. "What shall separate us from the love of God? Fearful and uncertain of what the future held for the next 16 years. But through all of that, and even to this day, this passage has become my favorite. And remembering how you cared for us in that time, when Joe gave me the opportunity to come tonight, I wanted to sort of share with you my testimony about this passage and why it's so personal for me, especially coming to preach in this place. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, not things present." That's first of all, that we don't have to be separated from God because of our present circumstance, which changes regularly. Mine is aging. I have found out that one of the things about aging is the older you get, the more doctors you have. Isn't that true? I mean, I'm starting in my fall round of doctor visits. I mean, when I was here, one doctor was enough. I got a cardiologist when I went to Kennesaw. And in the last year, I've added a urologist and a dermatologist. I don't know what my next IST is. Now, some of them have said I need a psychiatrist, but that's a whole other matter for another time. In fact, I started my fall round of specialists. I went to a specialist in October, my dermatologist. That's one reason I got a beard, because I got all these supposedly pre-cancers that she has had me treat. And you think I look bad with the beard, you ought to see what it looks like right now without the beard in terms of all of that. So that was, y'all the first people I've told the real excuse about why I'm growing the beard. My wife was more majestic today at church. She didn't want to tell all that stuff yet. So she just told, she heard somebody asking me, "What are you doing growing that beard?" And she's giving me all kind of grief. And she said, "He's doing it because it's No Shave November," which it is, and it's for cancer, but it's not exactly my sole motivation at this point. And that's the only reason I hesitated, Joe. When you asked me, I said, "Man, I just started growing my beard today. I don't want to shave that thing off." I don't know what the future holds. And it's in the present. I know how things end up, but I don't know. It's also scary. I've joined those folks I've listened to forever about retirement, including, I remember I get into the place where I've heard so many of y'all say to me before, I have a hard time keeping up what day it is. I didn't believe that was an issue, but it is. But another thing it is, you want to say you're not worried about money, but you are. We've lived through, in this century now, people who thought they were secure for a lifetime. And I wonder about every greeter at Walmart's reason for being there. I've said for a long time ago that I couldn't be a greeter at Walmart. I'm not nice enough. If I'd stayed in the Atlanta area to retire, I probably would have been in Lanier Parking right now, in one of those little cages. That would have been a good place for me, because I'm not sure I can smile at everybody all the time. I said one thing I like about retirement is I got plenty of time to do what I want to do. I just can't afford to do it. And it's a strange question. How do you like retirement? Most days I like it. But you know what's been a good spiritual journey for me this week? I was so, at Christmas last year, my sister, who is weird as a dickens, she gave me a devotional book for Christmas. I said, I just retired from 40 years of ministry and you going to give me a devotion book. And I've been more faithful in reading that darn devotion book than any I've ever had. And if you went back and read my notes in it, you'd also see my spiritual journey this year in trusting God. God provides what I need, not necessarily what I want. And I don't know all of your present circumstances. I know some of them. But brothers and sisters, this is what I want to tell every one of you tonight, young and old. Whatever your present circumstance is, the only reason it has to separate you from God is if you choose to let it. It doesn't have to, whatever it is that you face. My challenges in life have always brought me closer to God than further away. Now, I don't think God causes my present circumstance just to get my attention. I'm just glad I know where to go to get a hand up. The present doesn't have to separate us. The second, in verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, and skipping down to verse 39, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's interesting that we as Christians are so afraid to die. We spend our whole lives looking forward to getting to heaven. When we all get to heaven, what a glorious day that will be. But not one of us wants to get to the bus stop and get on the bus today. When it comes along, we try to avoid it every which way we can. And Alice, I've shared this many places. I don't think I've ever said it when you, I know I've never said it when you were in the room, I don't think. But one of the things Alice taught me, what happened when Alice's brother got killed on 285. And I remember seeing Don at the funeral home. And actually, Don said it, but I remembered it. And I've experienced it as pastor for 40-plus years. Don said to me when I walked in the funeral home and said, how are things going? He said, well, you can just tell the difference between the ones that are Christian and the ones that are not by how they grieve. And that was personal and firsthand. And it's true. People grieve different. Now, I ain't looking forward to dying either, or I wouldn't worry about going to all them dang doctors. I ain't in a hurry to do it. But when I do it, I know it's going to be okay. I'm not afraid of it. I'm just not eager for it. My daddy didn't teach me a lot spiritually, but one of the things he taught me, I remember he said it on the Thanksgiving before he died, when he was diagnosed with lung cancer. And Daddy wanted to believe he was going to get well. I'd been with enough people and listened to enough diagnosis, I knew it wasn't going to be well. But he said, I believe God can heal me, but either way, we win. That was the greatest thing my daddy ever told me. Either way, we win. I was angry with my daddy for going back to smoking when he quit after a while. He didn't have to die, but he still won. Either way, we win. One of the greatest gifts I received from Janice and our struggle against cancer was we learned, and I learned then, to treat each day as a gift. to treat each day as a gift. We had some of the most perverse humor over the years. Nobody else would have thought it was funny, because she'd get a good report from the oncologist. Then I'd say, okay, now it's time for me to have heart surgery again, so that it would be my turn for you to take care of me. We would get through it in marvelous ways. But one of the things it taught me, I have not lived my life with regrets one day since the day this text became my favorite. There's been times I've been disappointed with God. I've had to I've had to listen to my children question why their sweet mama had to die, when there's a lot of sorry folks that just get blessed. But today is a gift. And I try to live my life without regrets. And I don't put off till tomorrow what we can do today. How many folks die on the way home and forgot to tell somebody they love them? Today is a gift. Well, the third's the good news. Finally got to the good news. Nor things to come. I know what I'm dealing with now. I know what I've dealt with. And I know those things have not separated me from God. But I don't know what's going to come next. I have no idea. You'll appreciate this, Joe. The first time I looked in the mirror after I started using the medicine the dermatologist gave me, I can still see it. As I looked in the mirror, I could see Al Turnell's scars. They're on the same places where I had the potential tumors, whatever that means. I don't know what's ahead. But you know what I do know? I've lived long enough to know this, and I watched Janice die. And how hard her death was, one of the things that hurt me so bad. She was in such shape at the hospital. Don and Alice were on the way to see her that day, and I had to call them and tell them, no, she didn't want to see you. And that's because she didn't want anybody to see her in the state she was in. I do know, from being at bedsides, being in dealing with broken homes, dealing with addictions, dealing with bankruptcies, dealing with abuse, there are things worse than dying. There are things worse than dying. And it's not just the things that go on in my life personally. Those of you that really know me know I don't like change at all. I remember I never forget the first time I preached without a tie. I thought I'd strangle to death. I don't deal with change very well. Our world has changed drastically. 20 years ago, I was your pastor. Things aren't like they were 20 years ago. My lifetime, things have changed. I can remember when we didn't have an air-conditioned car. Anybody can remember not having an air-conditioned car? I suffocate if I don't turn the air conditioner on now. I can't imagine how the world is going to change in my grandchildren's lifetime. All the things in the world, when we turn on the news, I don't know what's to come.
I don't know who holds the future, but I know who holds the key.
I don't know what you're afraid of tonight. Disease, money, separation. I'm not sure what you're afraid of. But I know if we're honest, most of us are afraid of something tonight. But brothers and sisters, the good news is, whatever you're afraid of doesn't have to separate you from God. God's not going anywhere but closer to you, and to put his arms around you if you let him. If you choose to run away from God, it is your choice. Nothing, not things present, not things past, not things to come, has to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Whatever you're afraid of, God wants to keep close to you and bless you. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In our time of personal prayer, I invite you to wrestle with the question, what are you afraid of? And will you run towards God or away from God?